listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Bright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
We're going to deal with prayer, why and how to pray. Now, you're going to say, I already got it. And the truth is, you know that's one of our biggest problems is dealing with prayer. How to do it and why to do it, and sometimes we just need to be refreshed. So I want you to open your heart tonight in Jesus' name and just receive what God has for us. And let's begin by opening your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I may not get there for a while, but we're going to go to Matthew 6 and probably begin around verse 5. But I want you to go there. That's where the Lord Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer. And I will tell you in advance, and I will not cover all my notes. Some of these will just be given out. And if y'all want notes of Wednesday nights and let me know that, I will make sure copies are to you. But let me just say this about Matthew chapter 6, beginning there at verse number 5, dealing with the Lord's Prayer. One of the things that you need to know about that is it is a model of prayer and a rabbinical outline. It is not the prayer. There are some people that call it Our Father, and they pray the outline. In the Jewish culture, they teach outlines. So this is a rabbinical outline that's set up, and we use the outline to fill in as a skeleton or a guide on how to pray and how to get the benefits of it. So I just want you to get that, because some people read this and say, well, you need to memorize the Lord's Prayer. Well, you know, you don't need to really memorize it. You need to work from it. You need to let it become a model for you, and that's what Jesus did. He said, let me give you a model. So we're going to work through that tonight. Some of the things you deal with in prayer, and I just wrote notes down. I mean, I dealt with me more than I dealt with y'all, and maybe you'll feel the same way. But have you ever had a problem in prayer where your mind wandered? Oh, my goodness. Or you ran out of words or things to pray about. I'm just saying, you know, we're kind of natural in that area. And then we have questions. I don't know if you've ever asked these questions. We have questions. If God loves me, why should I pray? Or we ask the question, if God knows everything, and He does, then He ought to just do the best for me anyway. He ought to do what's right. Why should I ask? In other words, the question comes up is, why do I need to pray? I want to give you three reasons why you need to pray, and I'll try to work quickly through these. Number one, that you need to understand, prayer is acknowledging God and letting Him in my life generally and specifically. Generally, you need God in your life, and specifically for certain issues. I don't know how many of the rest of y'all have this, but Sue and I have some specific things we pray about. I mean, they're targeted. We've got people. We can put names on it. And we've got even in areas of demonic, what we feel like is demonic influence, and we know the name of the demonic force. I'm just saying, we know some specific things that God needs to do, but we want God in our life generally. Amen? Here's one of the problems you have as a believer. You feel like God is already there, but I want you to hear this again. Prayer is acknowledging God and letting Him in my life generally and specifically. Here's why. Salvation, listen closely, is a mutual relationship. Salvation is a mutual relationship. To validate a mutual relationship, both parties have to speak to one another. They've got to interact. You don't have a relationship just because one person's interested. And you need to get this. We are free will individuals. God's given us a free will, and we have a relationship with God that we should have daily. Listen to me. A relationship is not built on God keeping it up. It's built on me inviting God in to what I am. A relationship is I ask Him in every day. See, in your mind, you're thinking, I got a relationship with God. He's already with me. I get that. But He's not active if you've not invited Him. Say relationship.
Relationship.
Okay, you don't have a relationship with anybody if you don't talk to them.
Amen?
Amen? You talk to them to invite them in. So you just need to get that. So prayer is an invitation of getting God into our life. He wants to be in our life. He wants to be a part of it. He wants to be our friend, but it takes us giving an invitation. Amen? There are some people that don't want God in their life. There are people in church. I wish they did. They don't pray about their money. They don't pray about buying a house. They don't pray about buying a car. They just go do something, and they just feel like, well, if I do it, it'll be okay, and God will bless it later. I want you to help you on this. You need to pray before you do something and get Him involved. Get him involved before you do it. Well, even on buying a car, even on buying a motorcycle. I'm just saying, I know some folk on, I know them right on the, I know they're right on the edge of it. I'm just saying. And you're going to say, but we'll find out all the good. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but before I buy something, I just tear up the internet and everything I can to get the best deal and get the best whatever it is and make it function the best for me. And I'm going to say this to you. You've got a living God who says, I'll do the same thing. I'll go through the same parameters with you, and I'll help you that when you do that, I'm with you. And so we don't want to do something and then ask God to bless it. We want his blessings on it as we do it. Amen? And you're going to say, but God's not interested in a car. He is interested in a car. He's interested in a daily work with you. He wants to hear you, wants to talk to you. And I'm going to say something else. I'm going to preach on this next week on Wednesday night about hearing from God. And I know we all want to know how to hear from God, so we'll deal with that next week. But I'm going to tell you right now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a promise of you getting a word. Because he was the word made flesh, and the word went into the grave, but the word came out, which means there's fresh word today. There's bread baked today. There's something fresh today. You can hear from God. Amen? So number one, prayer is acknowledging God and then inviting him in. The second thing is that prayer builds a relationship with God. It invites him in, but then it builds a relationship. And here's another word I want to put in there. It builds a prioritized relationship. In other words, I make time for God. Now, I don't know when your best time is. Some of you are morning folk, and you get up early in the morning, and you can find some free time with God. Some of you are nighttime guys, and y'all can do it. But we need to find a time when we can be with God, intentionally ask him to come in, and understand that he wants to be a part of our life. And I'm going to say this. What we're doing right now in church is good, but this doesn't satisfy God as far as communion and relationship. I know it's going to hurt your feelings, but it doesn't satisfy him. He wants that in the truck. He wants it in the car. He wants it in the morning. He wants it at night. He wants a time when he's able to come in. God doesn't want structure without passion. We have structure tonight, but I want it to be passionate. I don't want to just do church, amen? At the end run, we want to have a passionate desire for what God's doing. I'm going to say this to you too. God does not get joy out of watching you nod off and sleep and struggle and be bored in prayer. If that's how you pray, you just need to quit. No, I'm struggling and suffering for Jesus. Listen, he is your Father in heaven. He doesn't get pleasure out of watching you suffer. It doesn't make him feel good that you're nodding off and can't stay awake, or you're bored to tears and you can't keep a prayer going and you think, I'm going to do it and I'm just going to struggle for Jesus. He's not excited about that. How many of y'all are fathers in here besides me? Yeah, and grandfathers. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I love being a father, and I don't want to see my children struggling and suffering to love me. So we need to find the time to build the relationship and get God invited in. I'm going to say this about God. He is a relational God, but the one thing that really sets me on it is the antithesis of that is in Isaiah 45:21, where God says this. He says, I am God right by myself, and there is no other. I mean, that puts Buddha out. Hare Krishna's out. Confucius is out. I'm just saying, there ain't no more. When you get down to the end of it in Isaiah 45:21, he said, I'm telling y'all, you need to call on me. You need to speak to me because I'm God right by myself. He just looked around. He said, I'm God right by myself, and I don't have to have anybody else. There is no one else. Now listen, God could do without us, but he's a relational God and created man for relationship. He didn't put you here so you could just make it on the earth. He put you here to be in fellowship with him. There are over 7 billion breathing humans that God wants a relationship with every one of them. I'm just saying. And prayer helps us get that. How do we get there? We prioritize some time. We give an opportunity. We invite the Lord to come in. It needs to be a time where it can be natural, fun, and friendly. If you talk to God, and every time you talk to God, you're ducking, you're probably missing the point. He's not out to knock you out. There ought to be a place where we have the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. You ought to be able to pray and smile every once in a while. Some people don't think they're touching God unless they're crying and weeping and chewing the carpet. And I'm just saying, there are times when you ought to be excited. Amen? You ought to be happy with God. The third thing on prayer on why we ought to pray is that we need to exercise spiritual authority. Number one, we need to acknowledge God. Number two, we need to build a relationship, take time with Him. Not just religious exercise, but take time with Him. Number three, we need to pray because it is an exercise of spiritual authority. Let me say it this way. God is not going to do what He's told you to do. Let me say it another way. God is not going to do what He told you to do. In Genesis 1, 26, 27, He said, I'm creating you, I'm creating mankind, and I'm giving you. See, y'all keep putting it on Adam. Get it off of Adam and get it on you. The second Adam's already come, invited you to be a part of that lineage, and now you're in the covenant. So He says, I've given you dominion over this earth. I've given you dominion. I've set you there. Psalms 115, 16 says that the earth was given to the children of man. In other words, you have authority here. You don't need to be walking around saying, well, I got to take care of that and He'll do that. Listen, He's wanting you to bind the devil. He's wanting you to take authority. He's wanting you to speak the word of God. He wants you to conduct business here. Amen. Some of us just wait around. Some of us wait around to say, well, you know, God just work it out in His time. You are the steward of the earth, and we got to do something about that. And just one more thought on that authority. In Luke 10, we will get to Matthew 6, I promise. But in Luke 10, 17 through 20, Jesus is responding to the disciples that came back, and they said, they had great joy because even the demons were subject to us in the name of the Lord. And He said, don't get so excited about that. And He said it this way, behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And you shall trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. The serpent is the devil. The scorpions are the demonic forces, and all the power of the legions that are set up. And Jesus says, y'all going to have victory over them. That is not a big deal with me. You need to understand you have authority there. So when I pray, I need to take authority over spiritual issues. If I got a kid jacked up, or if I'm jacked up, or there's an attack on me physically, and I feel like either it's a physical issue, it's a mental issue, or it's a spiritual issue, I ought to be able to say, God, I need peace of mind right now. And You said You'd give me, according to Philippians 4, You'd give me peace, and You would keep my mind sound. So in Jesus' name, I claim that peace, and I speak that peace in my life. If I feel like it's physical, I can say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over those nerves that are damaged, over those discs that are bulged, and I believe You to heal. If it's a physical issue, then if it's mental or physical, I can do it. If it's spiritual, I can do the same thing. I can say, I bind that lying spirit. Let me tell you, when someone has a lying spirit, just to help you, we're just kind of finding out some things ourselves as we're dealing with people. And one of the things that we sense is that someone has a lying spirit. It's not just their lying. They have a lying spirit if they use a lie when the truth would have been easier. Listen to what I'm saying. When it's easier to tell the truth, but they tell a lie anyway, that's a lying spirit. Because humanity is always going to take the easiest route. If the truth is easiest, I'm going to tell the truth. But the truth is, if there's a lie that I could tell that get me by this, and the lie seems easier than the truth, we're subject to tell a lie. Well, that's a failure, and that's a decision we make. But when someone lies, when the truth is easier, you're fighting a spiritual force. So if you've got kids that operate there, you need to bind that spirit. I don't care if they're 5 years old, 10 years old. I'm not saying they got a devil. But when lying is easier for them than telling the truth, when the truth would be easier, there's a spirit there. Some of y'all work with people that have lying spirits. Not that they're possessed, but that is what's functioning in their life, and that needs to be bound. and that needs to be cast away. Amen? So I'm just saying that's a part of our prayer is authority, and there are a lot of believers just getting their clocks cleaned every day because they don't take authority over the enemy. They don't understand that they're to have authority. So one of the reasons I pray is for authority. And what Eunice read a while ago out of Matthew 18:18, where the Word of God says, whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatever I loose on earth is loose in heaven. I don't know what your translation says, but I've got one translation that says that whatever I disallow is disallowed, and whatever I allow is allowed. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but when we're singing fire fall, we are allowing fire to fall. Amen? So we can disallow or we can allow, or you can bind and loose, whichever way you want to use it. But I like that allow and disallow. I'm not going to allow that devil to do this kind of junk in my house, in my church. I mean, I'm just going to take authority there. Or I want to allow the glory of God to be here. I want to allow the fruit of the Spirit. I want to allow the gifts of the Spirit to operate. Amen? And when we give that allowance, that's a part of our prayer. Does that make sense to y'all? So those are three reasons that we need to pray: allowing God to come in, building a relationship, and exercising authority. Now, one other question. What time is that? I don't have a watch on. Doesn't matter. Okay. Is it 7 o'clock? Okay, I'm good, man. We're going to be good on this one. Thank you for freeing me up, though, allowing me. Good. Really? Okay, here's the other thing is we know, how many of y'all know we ought to pray now? We ought to pray to allow God access. We ought to pray to bond ourselves with a relationship. And I'm just going to say this to you. Even friends don't impose themselves on other friends. I mean, we don't just jump up in a conversation if two people are talking because you're my friend, I can butt in. That doesn't give me that authority. And Jesus or the Holy Spirit or God the Father, as they operate for us, they don't just come jumping in your life. Relationships built on you receiving them. Let God come in. Invite Him in. Let Him speak to you. Now, I'm not saying that He won't just jump in your stuff anyway, because from time to time, God just does that. But by and large, it takes you making time for Him. Are y'all still with me? And then use your authority. Dear God, you've got all the authority of heaven operating. You can stand on the devil. You can kick out scorpions. And you have authority. And then nothing shall by any means harm you. How do we pray? One of the things we've got to do is find a quiet time and a quiet place. I don't know if it's morning or evening. Find you some time where you can get along with God. The next thing you need is to pray with the Word of God. Don't try to jump into prayer just on a whim. Just, well, it's time to pray and you don't even have your Bible. Here's what you need to do. I'm going to help you just practically. When you get ready to pray, open up your Bible. Read something in the Word of God. And then pray from the Word of God. That's why a lot of us get jacked up in our prayers and we can't pray, is because we don't have anything to pray. We're out there just kind of throwing stuff up, what we can think of. We need to get the Word of God. And I'm going to give you a couple things you can do if you do it online. One of them, and I've mentioned this several times, is Life Journal. It's one word, lifejournal.cc. You can get a daily Bible reading, and if you get it in certain translations, you can get it read to you. Or there's another one, a .com. It's called one word. It's 1 year Bible online. 1 year Bible online. All one word .com. That's another source you can have if you use computers and iPhones and all of that to have the Word of God. Have a plan to read the Bible. Amen. Please somehow get you a plan to read the Bible. Now, if you don't read it all in a year, fine. If you only get 2 verses, fine. But you need, and another thing I'm not good at, but I'm going to start being better at it, because I'm going to do it on my notes on the computer, and maybe it'll make it easier for me, but that is journal what God says. Journal what God says. Kelly gave me, she emailed me. Now, Kelly gives a word. She's very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and she emailed me some word from God. So I'm going to help you right now. God will work over email. I mean, He works. The Word of God is not stifled by the email. So anyway, I'm just saying, get something. Try to journal. Understand that when you're praying the prayer that Jesus gave, that is an outline, and I want to deal with that in just a minute. But One of the places you can start praying to help you practically is, what are you worried about? What do you have fear of? That, I would start there. I mean, if I didn't know where to pray, I'd start with what I'm worried about. That make sense to you? I mean, if I'm worried about money, if I'm worried about whatever, I'm going to go there first and pray about that and take that to the Lord and get it off of me. Let me give you something else, though. If you worry and you pray concerning that worry and you walk out still worried, you miss prayer. Think with me. If you're worried and you take the worry to the King of Glory and you walk out worried, I'm afraid you didn't do much over here. Something happened. Something happened. You got to get to a point that we can give these things to Him. We can let Him have them. And if we worry again, go back and pray and get rid of that stuff. Amen? Now, the other thing we want to deal with is in your prayer on how to pray. One of the two things that the Bible says that God doesn't like in prayer, He doesn't like religious or public prayer that's made so you can be heard. Now, that doesn't negate corporate prayer. It negates you praying loud so you can be heard. So you could, you know, someone could give you an award. God says, I don't need that. He doesn't need theater. He just needs you to pray to Him. And if it's corporate, that's fine, but it shouldn't be to impress other people. The other thing He says that He doesn't like, and this is also found in Matthew 6, He doesn't like for us to pray repetitiously. I'm going to say something. I hope it's nobody in here that does it. If you do, then I just stepped on your heart, because I'm aiming at it, not your toes. There are some people when they prayed, and I've heard this years ago, and being Pentecostal from a kid, I've heard all kinds of stuff. But have you ever heard people when they pray, and they go, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Okay, I have. Let me just help you. That would be like saying, Sue, 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 Sue. Well, shouldn't be wanting to slap me here in a minute. I mean, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I mean, I'm just saying, we do those kind of things, and somehow it becomes a form of prayer, and then we think it's pleasing because at least we're saying His name. And I'm just going to say this. Now, I know our prayer team guys, when they call, they'll say Jesus 7 times. I get that. I understand that. But when we pray repetitiously, so you just need to watch, listen to yourself when you pray. And if you keep repeating the same problem, same issue over, you need to think about that a little bit. Am I repeating it because I don't think He's hearing, or what's the issue? So I'm not saying you can't go again to God in prayer, but while you're praying, you need to hear what you're saying and make it be worth your while, if that makes any sense to anybody. All right, let me give you these 7 quick elements. Go to Matthew chapter 6, and when you look in verse 7, it says, and when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. Well, if you go up to verse 5, it says, when you pray, go in your closet and don't pray out loud. In verse 6, it says, don't pray like the hypocrites, and don't be praying so people can see you. Verse 7 says, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions, because heathen do that, for they think that they'll be heard because of their many words. Therefore, verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Now, He doesn't say don't ask, but He says talk to Him about the things you need that He knows you need. And then He says in this manner, and here comes the outline, in this manner, therefore, pray. Number 1, our Father which is in heaven. Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. I'm going to give you a couple thoughts on that. That is thanksgiving, and that is going to be worship, and that's going to be praise. All of it's going to be taken in that greeting. The other thing He says is, our Father which art in heaven. That isolates who we're talking about. We're talking about our Father, and His address is heaven. We're not talking about somebody else. So when we open prayer and we say, Father, I love You and I praise Your name. I praise You because You're the God of the universe. In other words, He's just saying when you pray, address your prayer to God. Don't just be throwing up and lobbing up a prayer. Pray to the Lord. Pray to the Father. Even Jesus said that. And I was asked the other day by someone, you know, is it wrong to pray to Jesus, or is it wrong to pray to the Holy Spirit, or is it and not to the Father? I'm going to say this to you. God is God, and I can't separate them. I'm just saying, I'm not going to fight that battle with someone with their hermeneutics and their apologetics on the Godhead. If someone says, Holy Ghost, I need a word, I don't see a problem with that in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I need a word. Holy Spirit, give me a word, because He is the one that gives the Spirit, right? So I just don't find a problem talking to God that way. But the idea is we are addressing our prayers to God. And Jesus said, when we pray to the Father in His name. Here's what He says. He says, hallowed be your name. I begin to read my psalm today, or my verse today, that got a hold of me and just broke my heart, is in Psalms 8. Y'all want to run over there just real quick? He says, hallowed be thy name. There are two things that hallowing means. It means purifying and it means honor. And I want to deal with that, because that has to do with us, not Him. I went to Psalms 8, and this is what I found. Oh, Lord, our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you've ordained strength because of your enemies, and that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you've ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than, I know some translations say angels, because that is Jewish tradition. But the word there is Elohim. Angels is what's in your Bible. But you'll find marginal reading, or you can get another translation that doesn't say angels. It says you've been made a little lower than Elohim. You're just a little bit lower than God. You missed it right there. Angels serve you because you're not below them. You are a child of God. You were created just a step below Elohim. Elohim is God, the Lord God, in the plural. Elohim is the Godhead. You're not made lower than Michael and Gabriel, and they're out above you. They are below you, and you rule from above them. Are y'all still tracking me? You were created a little lower than God. If you could ever really believe that you were created, when you were born again, you were created just a little bit lower than God, it would change your attitude on prayer. When you work in authority, you'd feel, my God, I am His child. I'm His daughter. I'm His son. I have privilege. I have access. Father, I want you in my life today. And we take authority over the financial dilemmas that have been going on. And we speak your blessing, and we speak prosperity over our lives. I'm going to say something else, though. You need to get God's advice if you want His blessings. Because He'll bless what He possesses. He blesses what He possesses. And if you're just doing stuff, buying stuff, and doing things without His privilege on it, you may be in trouble at the end of the day. All right, let's deal with this. You begin it with thanksgiving and prayer. We direct our prayer to Him. We hallow His name. He's our Father in heaven. We're not just lobbing a prayer up. Hallow means, which gives a thought of purifying and honor. Hallow means purifying and honor. That means that we feel like His name is pure, and we're not going to use His name to cuss or to curse. We're not going to drop a brick on our foot and say, oh, Jesus. I'm going to just tell you all this. Some of us need a tongue healing. Oh, my God. Oh, God. I'm going to back up and say this. Hallowed be my name. Hallowed is your name. Pure and honored is your name. I'm not going to bring your name down and use it as street slang. You're going to talk about God, about common things, and then try to get supernatural things. You've got to hallow His name. And I'm just going to say this to this church right now. You need to get His name above where it's been lately. Amen. And if you're one of those that just throw God's name around, oh, God this, oh, Jesus this, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to get yourself not in trouble because God's mad, but you're not setting Him apart. You're bringing commonality to Him. Amen? I know that sounds like I'm nitpicking and, you know, just kind of on a hobby horse, but all I'm doing is trying to get you to know how to pray. So we're going to honor His name. We're going to keep His name pure. It implies that His name is special to me, and He's not just the man upstairs. It galls me to hear people say, yeah, I've been praying to the man upstairs. That's like calling your wife the old lady. I mean, it's the same idea. He's not the man upstairs. He is the living God, the Creator, the just one of the universe. He's not the man upstairs. Well, I just have that kind of relationship with Him. No, you don't. You do not have that kind of relationship. He does not allow you to call Him the man upstairs. You may call Him Abba Daddy God, but you're not going to call Him the man upstairs. Just saying, you got to get His name holy. Some of you sitting here need to get His name purified in your mouth. All right. Y'all still love me? Just helping these new people. I know this ain't about y'all. Here's the other idea about the word purify. It carries another idea. One is about His name, but the other is about the idea of our being able to see clearly who He is. Hallowed, to see Him hallowed, means I've got to get a cleansing of my heart so I can see Him clearly. So when I say, hallowed be thy name, that word purify is not just about His name is purifying. His name purifies me. In other words, when I can put His name right, it purifies my vision that I can see Him as He is. If He's the man upstairs, and if I can use God and Jesus for dropping a pin on the floor, or I'm surprised, and those are the words that comes out of my mouth, then maybe I'm not as cleansed as I think I am. I'm not saying not going to heaven. I'm just saying that's a part of using that. Amen? And you can only show other people what you're seeing. And if you're not seeing Him as holy and honorable, then you're not going to show Him that way to other people. The other part about worshiping God, when we say, hallowed be thy name, it is an idea that we're setting thanksgiving before stuff. In other words, before I ask Him for anything new, I'm going to thank Him for what I've already got. Let me say something else about praying to God. How many of y'all have ever been proud of your children? How many of you have ever been proud of your parents? How many has ever been proud of God? Now think with me. Have we ever told Him we're proud of Him? I haven't. I'm just being honest. I'm glad you have. I'm just saying. I don't know about the rest of y'all. I've not said, Father, I am so proud of you. Now, I've done it to other people. I'm just going to help you step up another level in prayer. What if we're proud that He did something for our children? And we said, Father, we're so proud of you. What if we thanked Him for the last thing before we ask Him for the next thing? It's hallowing His name. It's the worship and praise that it takes to get in His presence. And I'm just going to say this. The idea of worshiping God, hallowing His name, worshiping Him, giving Him honor, which hallowing means I'm giving Him honor, I'm worshiping Him. It means to kiss toward. Worship is to kiss toward as well as bow. Amen? Okay, here's the second thing it says. In your word, let's go back over to Matthew. I didn't read all of that. You need to read all of Psalm 8. It got all over me today. In here it says this, therefore, it says that we're going to hallow His name. Our Father who in heaven, recognize who He is, worship our praise. We're going to hallow His name. The next thing it says, that we're going to submit to Him. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is a place of submission. The word kingdom there, your kingdom come, is the basilia, which means your royal power or your right to rule come so your will be done. You need to give God rulership. It's His will, not your will. It's His will that needs to be done, not my will. I've got to submit myself to the Lord. I've got to surrender to kingdom, which is His right to rule. I've got to surrender to His rulership. When people say, I'm born again, but I do what I want to, I'm going to help you right now. You're not born again and do anything that you want to. You're born again and you are a child of God and you're subject to kingdom rule. I don't just do what I want to do. I'm subject to kingdom rule. So I've got to surrender to His rule and His will. Here's something else you need to get. If you don't do that, you're not going to be able to resist the devil. You submit before you resist. Submit yourself to God and resist the devil. Amen? And what the Bible says, and that's what we're saying right here. When you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's not just Him performing miracles. It is us understanding that we're surrendering, Lord, to your rulership on this earth. We want your anointing to come here. Amen? Here's the other thing it says in the Word of God. It says that, give us this day our daily bread. Say daily.
Daily.
That means we ought to be presenting God daily needs, daily provision. Say daily.
Daily.
Yeah, we need to ask God every day. Lord, we pray for daily bread. We pray for whether it's spiritual, physical, but it is about provision. We believe you for provision. We believe you for provision. I'm going to tell you something else that the Bible says, and write this down. It's Hebrews 6:1. It says we should be grown enough to go past the elementary teachings of the Word of God, such as repentance. Listen to the Word of God. Repentance from dead works. Not repentance of dead works. Repentance from dead works. Let me tell you what a dead work is. It is sin in a person's life. I get that. But in a believer's life, it is repentance from dead works. That is a work that He didn't initiate. You mean God's got to be involved in everything I do? Why not? He is my friend. He is my God. I'm just helping you in prayer right now. We need to get Him more involved in what we do. Because if we do stuff and initiate stuff without Him involved in it, well, I want to plan a vacation. We're just going to go do whatever it is. My wife and I are going to go on a cruise that was given to us, and we're excited about getting to go, and we're going to go up Boston and the East Coast to Halifax or somewhere up in Canada, and all those boats are getting people sick and turning over and crashing, and that's exciting. Yeah, but and airplanes are crashing. We have no way out. We're going to go on a vacation. But let me say this to you. Really, it's a dead work, and I need to repent over it. I'll be honest with you. Because we just went through books and tried to pick the best deal. And I'm just being honest. Right then, and not to be legalistic, but right then, we should have just said, God, help us. Help us to figure this thing out. Just something that simple to get Him involved, that I repent. I turn away from dead works. Say I'm going to turn away from dead works.
I want God
to help me initiate the things I do. I remember years ago when people used to thank God for parking spots. And other people would make fun of them. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to make fun of someone. If God will get them a parking spot, you know, who knows what else He'll do. He may give you a penny for a jar of peanut butter. Jar of peanut butter for a penny. Now, I'm going to say this. That just sounds like, well, what a coincidence. But you know what I'm thinking? You got God and initiated Him into your plan that day. So now God's in your going to the store. Doesn't that sound just kind of light and simple? Yeah, it is light and simple. But when she went to the store, the plan wasn't hers then. Now, it's His because He's involved in it. So you get the peanut butter for a penny. And we can say, what a coincidence. Isn't that something someone had? All I'm saying is this. I got a $2 coupon given to me today on my lunch. Someone gave me, well, as Beverly said, I told her where I was going to go and get something to eat. And she said, well, I got a $2 coupon. I say, thank you, Jesus. I get a $2 coupon. I'm just saying, if we'll start putting God into a place, so get His kingdom to come, then seek provisions and do it by repenting or turning away from dead works. In other words, get God possessing your steps, because what He possesses, He blesses. If I give it to Him, He can bless it. If I do it and then give it to Him, well, He'll bless it. Will He? Now, Willie, we don't know that, but I know if I initiate it with him, it can be blessed. Amen? I'm just saying, we need to get a hold of this and move this way. Okay, I know I'm running way late, but let's move on a little bit further on this. So here's another thing about provision, and I really like this, and it helps you understand a little bit more about God's favor and promotion and financial help and relationships. These are things God wants to do. The idea of provision, give me daily bread. Say the word, say provision. Provision. Say provision. It means far. The vision. Provision. I need provision. I need something for the vision. If I got a vision, then I can get provision. So I'm going to say, God, this is the vision. This is what you gave me. This is what we're going to do. And we want you involved in this. And I'm going to say this. Much of the provision God gives us, even though he will give us things. But if we invite him to help us buy a car, buy a house, get a job, then he can give us favor and promotion and financial help and relationships that can open the door to stuff. Amen. According to the Word of God, you're either going to worry or you're going to pray. You're going to worry or you're going to pray. Amen? I don't know about the rest of you, but... in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, the Word of God lets me know there that those things that I'm worried about are the things I'll put on my list so I can pray about them. But look in Philippians 4, 6 just real quick. This has a good thought in here that you need to at least look at about the peace of God. And let me, something else is about him guarding us. I want you to see this. Look in Philippians 4, 6 on our prayer for provision. Listen to what it says. Be anxious for nothing. Say nothing. Yeah. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. This is everything that I was anxious in. Be anxious for nothing. It doesn't say it's not there. It says be anxious for nothing, but in everything, that stuff, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And if I do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, here's your key word, will guard your heart. Will guard your heart. The word guard there is a military term. It is proreo, which is a military term, meaning that God will send a sentry, he'll send a guard, and they'll stand and protect you from the enemy. The Lord says, I'll guard your hearts and your minds if you'll simply pray with me. If you'll bring what you're worried about to me in prayer, then I will give you sentries around you to give you peace. Oh, dear God, do you understand right now some of y'all got angels around you right now simply because you prayed a prayer? You said, God, I've been so anxious over my son, over my daughter, over my finances, over my health, over losing my house, over getting a job, and I've been concerned about it, worried about it, but I've put it on my prayer list so I don't have to worry about it, and I'm bringing it to you. And he says, just to help you not worry, I want you to know I'm sending you spiritual beings around you so you don't have to worry. They'll guard your mind. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm liking that already, that's part of what happens when I pray. The other thing is we got to forgive, and that's in verse number 12. And it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive others. And that is not just talking about forgive me of sins. Listen closely. When it says, and forgive me my debts as we forgive our debtors, forgive me my sins or debts is not about just listing sins. It's about deciding to walk in grace. Are y'all getting that? Forgive me my debts is not just, oh, forgive me for that and forgive me for that. It's not just that. It can include that. Forgive me my debts goes back to the word repentance. It means I'm going to turn from that. I'm going to start walking in grace. Say I'm not in condemnation. The Bible says there's therefore no condemnation of those in Christ. I need to turn from that and begin to walk in the grace of God. So forgiving debts is not just about a list of sins. Forgive me my sins. It's about God. Not only am I getting forgiveness here, that word means I'm going to walk in grace. Hallelujah. I'm going to start walking in grace. I'm going to receive forgiveness. You love me. You don't condemn me. You take that pressure off of me. Amen? So you got to get the right perspective on this dealing with that. The other thing the Word of God says is, and don't lead us. This is something. And you got to forgive others and we forgive the debtors. But simply that's walking in grace. I'm going to give grace to that knucklehead. I want to walk in grace. I'm going to give grace to them. Amen. Here's the other one, and it says this, and don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's a little bit tricky, but I'm going to say this. He will never lead you into temptation. This is an outline. When it says, lead me not into temptation, it's not that he will. It's not that he's going to take you into temptation so you can sin and fall. It is the outline of direction and protection. He'll never lead me into evil. He'll never lead me into sin, but he can lead me away from it. One more thought, and I can pray as Jesus did over Jerusalem. He said, how many times would I brought you like a mother hen does her chicks and put his wings over her and cover her up? Listen to me right now. What if I believed that God, not only you're not going to take me into temptation, you're going to take me away from it. I pray that you cover me, listen to this, cover me with your wings, cover me with your presence, that I become invisible to the enemy. Invisible. Well, if the hen's over the chicks, you can't see them. Huh? What if you're in the middle of all hell breaking loose and you say, God, I'm praying for direction and protection, and I pray you lead me not in temptation, which means you're going to lead me away from this. And I believe right now I'm in the middle of all of this mess, but you are going to come and lead me out of this and away from it, and you will cover me. The Bible says with your pinions, with your feathers, with your wings, with your presence, with your train, whatever you want to call it, and you become invisible. Wouldn't it feel good that you would just be invisible to the issue? I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I would like to learn how to pray. I want to understand protection and direction. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me. 7:30, thank you, babe. But deliver me from evil. The last two are very quick ones anyway. But let me just say this on deliver from evil. Let me go ahead and give you this. On delivering us from the evil one, I believe this is where we also come into a place of spiritual warfare, in the sense of we pray for our children, our grandchildren, our church, and that is, don't lead them into temptation, but deliver them from evil. Deliver my son from evil. Deliver my daughter from evil. I pray, God, the covering be on them. I believe that's when we can start, Lord, deliver our church right now from evil. Deliver us right now. And we can start praying and interceding or going spiritual warfare with the idea of this idea of direction and protection, that we're getting protection for these things. Amen? The last two are divine rights. Divine rights. It says this, for yours is the kingdom. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. We serve him by his power for his glory. We serve him by his power for his glory. And if you do it any other way, you're going to have a problem. You don't have rights in the kingdom. It's all about him. And he's a loving father. And I just know if I'm obedient in the kingdom, then he's going to bless me. Amen? The door stays open. So you need to understand divine rights. The right is we serve him by his power and it's for his glory. Amen? It's not my kingdom, it's not my power, it's not my glory. If I cast the devil out, the finger of God has touched them, not Mike Wright. If someone gets healed because we lay hands on them and anoint them, you don't have to go running around to the hospital and try to lay hands on everybody because it's your gift. It wasn't your gift to begin with. It's still not your gift. It's his gift, his glory, and we need to give that to him. Understand divine rights. And here's the last part, and that is you make a declaration of faith. Here's what it says. Amen. Amen. The word amen doesn't mean I'm through. Amen means so be it. It's going to be. Amen means so be it. So when you pray, you use those. You can use those. It could take you 5 minutes. It could take you 5 hours. But you start using those as places of prayer. I need divine favor, so I'm going to be believing God today for daily provisions. Listen, you're not a beggar to ask your Father for something that loves you. And I'm getting really weary of some folk that just feel like, well, you know, I don't want to bother God. Are you kidding me? My grandkids come to me. We've got a candy drawer at our house. This won't be on the CD. We've got a candy drawer at our house. They don't get candy at their house. It's taboo. But in Honey and Darling's house, it's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. We got the drawer full. Our grandbabies come to the house. You know what they do? First thing they do, they run that candy drawer and they dig in. I'm just going to tell you right now, I love being a granddaddy. I love being a father. I love it. And I want to give and help my children, my grandchildren. Do you understand that the Bible says your Father in heaven makes us look like we're evil compared to how much He wants to bless us? Let's all stand if you would.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.